Meditation today is in Psalm 80. Please feel free to turn with me in the New King James Pew Bibles, unless you have your own, then feel free to use that. Psalm 80. And we'll note that the superscription is that this is to the chief musician, set to a tune called The Lilies that we do not have anymore. It is a testimony of Asaph, and we note that it is a psalm as well as a testimony or a shoshan. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Jehovah, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, this psalm is worthy, as Larry and I so often say, of at least a sermon and maybe several. And as a matter of fact, I have in my backlogs a couple of different sermons on this. I first preached on it when I was a seminary student. This psalm is full, so I'm not going to bring out everything in here by any means. We're going quickly to go through it and meditate on it and give you opportunity to think about it further in the rest of the Sabbath day. You will note then that Asaph was moved by the Holy Spirit, because of course this is the Word of God. You will note that he has a couple of different images here. He has the image of a shepherd and his flock, and then there is also the image of the vine here. The flock being the people of Israel, and the different branches and boughs of the vine being the people of Israel as well. In here, he calls out to the one who is the shepherd of Israel. And of course, we know from Luke 24:44, that the Psalms speak of Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is very prominent here in this psalm. The one that is appealed to here is the one who calls himself in John chapter 10, the door to the sheep and also the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. They are looking to the one who is the shepherd of his people, the one who leads Joseph, the one who we sing about in Psalm 100, of course, as well. They call upon him graciously to stir up his people, and we see this refrain that happens several times there in verse 3. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And I shall remark on this refrain in a few moments. Secondly, they look to the one who is the Lord God of hosts, and they note that he is angry with his people. This is why they need the shepherding. They are lost sheep. They are like the one who has wandered off, and they call upon him who searches for the sheep. Remember, folks, the sheep never seek the shepherd. The sheep left to themselves wander off. It is the shepherd who must seek the sheep. They call upon him to come. And we've sung about this before. I can think of the last verse, for example, of Psalm 119. A straying sheep thy servant seek, for thy commands I ne'er forget. The psalmist there knew himself to be a wandering sheep. He knew himself to be lost and miserable. And he called upon the great shepherd, the good shepherd, to come and find him. And so it is here. Will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. And they call upon him for mercy. They call upon him for grace. There is no appeal here, friends, to their goodness. No appeal to any supposed works or supposed holiness. No, they confess their sin. And they know that they are worthy of condemnation for them, for their sin, as we see in verse 8. Do not remember, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. They might have said we have brought ourselves very low. It is their sin that has led to all this. They need help from the God of salvation, as we see in verse 9. And they don't seek it for justice's sake, for that would bring on the condemnation. No, but for God's glory's sake. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins. You know, the sacrifices in the, depending on when this was written, I believe after they had the temple, the sacrifices that had gone on in the tabernacle and the sacrifices going on now in the temple, they were insufficient. They're insufficient, always were. They were only useful in pointing to, in Asaph's day, the sacrifice which would come of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, they cry, as they look to the one coming, prophesied and portrayed by all the imagery of the temple. And they call out for God to vindicate his name before the nations, before unbelievers, there in verse 10. Excuse me, I'm looking at Psalm 80. Excuse me, Psalm 79. No wonder people were thinking that this is kind of weird. Let's go on to... I wonder if we could edit a whole chunk of things there. Oh, well. I brought out some new insights that I missed last week, I imagine, from Psalm 79. Let's go back to Psalm 80, as I should have been in. We go after the them crying out to Jehovah about the fact that he's fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. These things I strayed off into 79 there because it's some of the same sentiments. And it's after crying out to God that they cry again with this refrain, "Restore us, O God of hosts." Before it was, "O God," now it's, "O God of hosts, cause your face to shine and we shall be saved." It is then that he switches to the vine, the picture of the vine. Brought it out of Egypt. Yes, we know what that's talking about. Cast out the nations and planted it. Yes, we know what that's talking about. Preparing room for it and causing it to take deep root and it filled the land. That's what happened with the vine that he planted and the boughs that came with it. And so the hills, and we should be thinking perhaps of the hills of Lebanon and Mount Carmel and such to the far north. The hills covered with its shadow, the mighty cedars with its boughs. Yeah, that would tend to confirm that, that we're looking to the north. Sent out the boughs to the sea off to the far west and the branches to the river to the far east of the land of promise. In every inhabited direction, it was able to spread out. God, in his grace, allowed that to happen, but then they acknowledge their sin once again. And the consequences of it, God breaking down the hedges and her being plucked, the uprooting from the boar, the unclean animal, a picture of the Gentiles there and the wild beast of the fields. And so here is the cry here in Psalm 80, not the interloping Psalm 79 here, the crying out for mercy. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted. And as we think and as we think of and see the vine here, we should be thinking of perhaps at least echoes here Jesus picked up on in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, where he's speaking of himself being the true vine and you are the branches. The branches are the people of God. And so the psalmist calls to the one who tends the vine and who really is the vine himself to come and see and deliver. Now, significantly, we see there in verse 17 the clearest picture of Jesus here in this psalm. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man whom you made strong for yourself. Who is at the right hand of the Father? Is it not Jesus Christ, who called himself most commonly and most comfortably the Son of Man? Why, it is Jesus Christ. Look to him, the people of God implore the Father. Look to him, the one you have made strong for yourself, strong in his holiness, strong in his godliness, strong in his resistance to sin, strong to bear the curse and the punishment for sin that his people deserved. Look upon him. And let it be that we will be seen in the Beloved, as Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 1. God, as you do that, it's then we will not turn back from you. As you look to him who pays for our iniquity, as you look to him who provides us life by his life and by his death and by his resurrection, as you give us new hearts, circumcising our hearts, it is then we will not turn back from you. If you revive us, if you bring us to new life, if you make us to be born again, we will call upon your name. And then this refrain the third time, restore us. Oh, look, another addition. Oh, Jehovah, or oh, Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. Here's where I comment. Do you notice the progression? Restore us, O God. Restore us, O God of hosts. Restore us, O Jehovah, God of hosts. They look to him as God, then as the powerful God, and then lastly as the powerful God of grace, the powerful God of covenant. He is indeed strong to smite the wicked. But in Jesus Christ, he is strong to save. When his face shines upon us in his grace, when his face shines upon us who are found in him who is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, when his face shines upon us who are accepted in the Beloved, it is then, it is only then, it is certainly then that we shall be saved. A wonderful thing to have God's face shine upon us, but nearly every Sabbath day I proclaim to you from the Word of God that such is true. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The light of his countenance be upon you. Why, all these wonderful things are yours in Jesus. The sheep he shepherds, the vine he restores, and salvation is given to each and to all of his children in and through Jesus.